In this hour of Focus 580, we'll be talking about movies. And our guest for the show is Ty Burr. He's a film critic for the Boston Globe. Before that, he worked for Entertainment Weekly. He was the magazine's chief video critic. He also covered movies, books, theater, music, and the internet. He began his career at Home Box Office as an in-house film evaluator. While he was at Entertainment Weekly, he wrote The 100 Greatest Movies of All Time and co-authored The 100 Greatest Stars of All Time. He's also written about film and other subjects for a variety of publications, The New York Times, Spin, The Boston Phoenix. And he has a recently published book out that might well interest you. It's The Best Old Movies for Families. The subtitle is A Guide to Watching Together, and it's published by Anchor Books. And if people will call in and make a pledge this morning, and I think what we're asking for is a $100 pledge, we have five copies of the book that we can offer to you with our thanks to the first five people who will do that. So if that sounds like something good to you, you can call in and make a pledge. Otherwise, if you'd like to call in and talk about movies, and I suppose it doesn't necessarily have to be older movies, it can be new movies as well, you just give us a call. And it's the same, the number for this show, same number as always. No pledge will be required if you want to call in. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Well, Ty Burr, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks very much. And how are you?
Very, very well.
Well, I appreciate you giving us some of your time. And I really think that this is a book that a lot of people will find useful because they're looking for good movies for home viewing for their families, things that they can feel good about sitting down and watching with their kids. And it is so not only are there a lot of good titles here suggested, but it's also you make some suggestions for viewing depending on how the age of the kids. But before I got to do some weather here. Hold on just a second.
Sure.
I got to again mention here, we now have a new severe thunderstorm warning for Northern Christian County in central Illinois, southeastern Sangamon County in central Illinois. This one will be in effect until 11:45 central time. Locations impacted include Mount Auburn and Edinburgh. Again, as with these other storms, there's a chance of high winds and hail and lightning, so take these warnings seriously. Again, severe thunderstorm warning, Northern Christian County, southeastern Sangamon, until 11:45. And we'll keep you posted on what's going on with the weather. Okay, I'm sorry that's important here to get that in. But as we were saying, that well, I think one of the things that is helpful about the book is that not only does it suggest titles, but it also helps in thinking about, okay, my kids are this age. What sort of movies do we really think would appeal to them?
Right, right. And really, it depends on the age, and it also depends on the specific kid. I wrote the book and researched it, as it were, by sitting down with my two daughters over the course of, 8 years, starting when they were really 5 and 3, and now they're 10 and 12, and we've watched a lot of old movies together. But it's always, has to be sort of appropriate to where they are and what they want to see. My older daughter has never been into scary movies, so, forget about Frankenstein and the Dracula. The younger one, loves Hitchcock movies, and she keeps asking me, Dad, when can I see Psycho? And I keep saying, well, let's talk when you're 13, and every 2 months she asks me again.
Well, I think that if you, one of the things that you will understand if you look at the movies that are offered for television, even if you have cable, there's, I think, only one place that I know of, at least on my cable, where you can see a movie that is in black and white. So obviously they've decided that no one will watch a movie unless it's in color, first
right.
of all. And for older films, you wonder, can you hold their interest? And I love the story here that you begin this book with, where you say that your daughter decided that she was going to have a Katharine Hepburn birthday party, or Katharine Hepburn party, and I think it was her,
It was her ninth birthday.
It was ninth birthday. And so she said she was going to invite some of her friends over and show Bringing Up Baby.
Right.
And you were thinking to yourself, now, wait a minute. Well, today's kids sit still for Bringing Up Baby. And in fact, you found the answer was, yeah, it was a hit.
Yeah, the parents were worried. The kids were fine. The kids thought it was hilarious. I think, now that she's 12, I think that that probably wouldn't be the case. I think the kids are more interested in when they get to an older age that, you know, and what's cool, what their friends think are cool. The thing with black and white, I've found, in general, and old movies in general, is if you start a kid when they're young, I'm not talking 2 years, but I'm talking, you know, when they're 4 or 5 or 6, and you show them, like, Charlie Chaplin. They don't know that black and white is bad for them. They don't know that silent movies are not cool. They just know it's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Same with Bringing Up Baby, same with any old movies. And so as they get older, they come to understand that these old movies aren't, you know, necessarily better than what's, you know, on Nickelodeon. Personally, I think so. But that is an alternative. It's just an alternative programming stream. It's a different thing that's out there that can be just as funny or moving or enjoyably scary. It's just other stuff that's out there.
Yeah. Okay, I got some more weather information here. Let me do it real quick.
Sure.
We now have a severe thunderstorm warning for northwestern Coles County, central Moultrie County, southwestern Douglas County until noon. Including these towns are going to be in the way of this storm activity. Sullivan, Cook's Mill, Arthur, Arcola, Humboldt, Tuscola. So again, if you're in these areas, do keep in mind that these storms are capable of producing high winds and large hail and lightning. You want to take that seriously. Don't be caught outside. Take shelter. So again, severe thunderstorm warning, northeastern Coles, central Moultrie, southwestern Douglas until noon. Again, we'll keep you posted on what's going on with the weather. I'm thinking about the fact that I think of movies that I have seen that actually made me laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I know, I remember this experience was, and this was, I think after certainly I was an adult, was Modern Times,
uh-huh.
A Chaplin film. And there's the scene, I know if people have seen the movie, they know it, where he's working in a factory. And he just goes nuts. He's on an assembly line where he's tightening bolts, and he's going along and he's tightening bolts and tightening bolts and tightening bolts. And then it finally just gets too much. And then he goes after anything that even looks like
right.
a bolt. And it's one of the funniest things I have ever seen in a movie. And it actually made me laugh out loud. And I can't imagine anybody, even a kid, not thinking that that was funny and having that same.
It's funny. Reaction. I used that scene. I put together a little clip show. My daughters picked out some scenes from movies that they liked, and as I'm going around with this book and giving readings at various bookstores and places, I brought along a little clip show of scenes from classic movies that we put together on my iMac, and the girls helped me pick them out, and that particular scene is in there. And it ends with this absolutely great sight gag. He's going around with these two wrenches tightening anything that looked like nuts. And he runs outside the factory, and coming down the street is this very large, imposing woman with two black buttons on her front, the front of her dress. It's this incredible sight gag, and every kid who sees that movie just falls down laughing. And that scene, that's like the kicker.
So that's, and I really, I also think about the fact that nowadays, and I think, again, on television, the only place that I know of that you're going to see a silent movie is Turner Classics. Now, maybe there are some other people who run silence, but they certainly do. And it's really, I think nowadays, maybe unless you're going to rent them on a DVD, it's probably gotten really hard to see a silent movie.
Absolutely true. Unless you live in a big city. And here in Boston, we actually have a group of three musicians. They're called the Alloy Orchestra, who go around. They've composed original music for silent films, and they show them in theaters around here. And they travel up and down the East Coast. And so, you know, they're... You know, and they'll show Phantom of the Opera, and they'll show, you know, Buster Keaton movies. And to see Phantom of the Opera, the silent one, with a live orchestra, and the color, you know, it's a black and white film, but they used color techniques in certain scenes. It's great fun for a kid. It's really quite a remarkable experience for a kid. Because we're used to thinking of silent movies as these sort of herky-jerky, fast, tattered, you know, sort of corny old things. And when you see one properly, they're just as involving as a new movie.
Well, again, if people who are listening here this morning, if you'd like to call in, and maybe there's a movie that you have seen with your family that you really have enjoyed and you'd like to suggest that. And now, of course, now that we're into the DVD age, there's an awful lot of material that actually is available. You might have to kind of go out of your way to do it, and you may not be able to get it at your local video rental place, but a lot of opportunities to watch movies that can be a lot of fun. I really think I like the idea of some movie that you as a maybe as there was something that you liked as a kid, to be able then to share that with your children and to say, you know, when I was a kid, I saw this movie and I would just thought it was the greatest. I cried, I laughed, I cried, you know, and to be able to share that with them, I think is a great thing.
It's also a neat thing for grandparents to sit down with their grandchildren and say, you know, I saw this when I was your age, and it really, you know, moved me, and it's a great thing to get, you know, the generations talking between each other.
Yeah, I think about when I was a kid, I grew up in the Chicago area and watched, and this was in the day where we probably only had about, you know, when I was a kid, we probably only had about four or five different channels. We certainly didn't have many channels. And one of them was WGN, and they had a great collection of classic movies, the kinds of things that now you're going to see on Turner Classics. And,
right.
Of course, WGN, because they're black and white, they don't show those movies anymore, and except maybe they might still show Alistair Sim doing a Christmas Carol.
Right.
I remember being babysat by my grandmother, and she and I sitting there together and watching Fred Astaire. And I was a kid, and you know, and I thought, well, this is pretty cool. I could get into that. And you know, of course, this was very much a part of her experience, and that was a great moment that she and I shared together.
Yeah, that's how I saw my first old movies too. Is, you know, watching Marx Brothers at, you know, 11 o'clock at night on the local UHF channel.
Yeah.
And then moving on from that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the way I saw the things like those movies, Fred Astaire, the Marx Brothers, the Maltese Falcon, you know,
right.
stuff like that, Casablanca and all those old. And I think also thanks to the public television station in Chicago when I was a kid, I saw Seven Samurai. And knocked me out totally. And it's still one of my favorite movies.
I have a funny story about that in the book. I sat down to watch it. There was a new edition coming out on DVD. I sat down to watch it for an article I was writing, and my daughter sat down next to me, and I'm like, are you sure you want to watch this? It's a three-hour movie in Japanese with subtitles. And they were, at that point, they knew that watching an old movie could be fun, and they said, okay, fine, we'll give it a go. And they were probably 9 and 7, 8 and 6, something like that. And so I read it to them like it was a picture book almost, and that was part of the fun. And we divided up into two sittings, but they loved it. They loved that movie. They were, you know, emotionally torn up at the end because, you know, some of those characters don't make it, but it was one of the most exciting experiences they'd ever had. They really enjoy. They still talk about it.
Yeah, I guess I'm glad to hear that that girls would feel that way too. I sometimes think since I was a little boy, I'm thinking, well, anything that involved guys with swords, I'm going to be solid with that totally.
But the great thing about that movie is the characters. It's the seven
absolutely.
Characters, and you get to know
absolutely.
Them gradually, and it's good story. The thing I found out about this writing this entire book was that good storytelling beats anything else, beats special effects, beats modern stars, beats, you know, the story has to work.
And I think it's you can understand just how powerful stories are and the way that can grab us, where you can start watching something that may not even be a particularly great movie, but at some point you say, okay, I have to know how this,
right.
I have to know what happens. I have to know how this comes out. So that's, even a mediocre movie can get you to identify enough with a character so that you get to the point where you say, okay, I'm hooked. I'm sorry. Yes, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and this is not the greatest movie ever made, but I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch through to the end.
Right.
We have several callers here. Let's bring them into the conversation,
right.
Starting with Urbana in line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have granddaughters who are 6 and 3. And just recently watched It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and especially the six-year-old thought it was the funniest thing she ever saw in her life.
Did she? Good for her.
And
I tried that one on my daughters, and it, for some reason it didn't work out, but I know that they just found it kind of noisy more than funny, but I have another friend whose son watches that film repeatedly. It's 3 hours long. It has every comedian in the 1960s in it. I think it's hilarious.
Can
and
you
I'm glad
think
to see
anything
it's
else safe. In the same vein, or
some
with
like
the same comedy impact?
Try Some Like It Hot with Jack Lemmon and
Tony
Curtis. dressing up as women, they play jazz musicians who are running from gangsters.
Yeah, I remember it very well.
And Marilyn Monroe is in it, and I showed that to my girls when they were fairly young, and they adored it. It's black and white.
Yeah.
Once the two guys get into women's clothing, it's just hilarious.
Well, that's a good idea. Well, thank you very much.
All right,
sure.
Thank you. Well, let's go to line two. This is someone in Champaign. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
This isn't really movies, but I just thought I would throw this in. In the late 20s and early 30s, one of the big things for Christmas celebration at my grandparents' was getting out the movie machine and seeing the Keystone Cops.
Oh, wow.
And Charlie Chaplin and all of that pre-Disney comic stuff, which was, of course, silent and black and white. And I and my brother and my cousins, all of us in the, what would we have been, 4 to 6 or 7 age group, just ate this up. And, of course, that's a real lead-in to the old black and white.
Absolutely.
I just thought I would pass this bit of information along.
Did they actually have a projector that they used to show these?
Yes, my grandfather would get out the projector.
Oh, neat.
It was after we opened the presents at grandparents and after Christmas dinner. And we just waited till mid-late afternoon for this to happen every year.
I've showed my girls Chaplin, Harold Lloyd. Harold Lloyd just came out. All his stuff came out on DVD. Laurel and Hardy. Laurel and Hardy works for a three-year-old. They just think these grown-ups acting like kids are the funniest people they've ever seen in their lives.
Oh, we thought this was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And we sort of waited from year to year for this to happen because that was the only place it ever happened, was at my grandparents'.
That's a wonderful story. You had, like, sort of the video era before, you know, you had, like, your home VCR 50 years before anybody else did.
This is when people still glued their ear to the radio for Amos and Andy and all of that. I guess I give my age away by that, but I just wanted to contribute this little bit to your
thank you.
Well, that's great. Thanks very much. Well, that you can still you don't have to have your own projector. You can still now have that same kind of
experience. Yeah, and actually, you know, I wanted to mention, we actually are living in sort of a golden era for seeing these old films because unlike when VHS tapes came around, with DVDs, the studios are putting out the best restored prints that they can find in most cases. And you're getting, you know, trailers and additional stuff, and the picture quality looks great. It really is, and they're really emptying the vault. So there's a lot of stuff that has been unable to be seen in, you know, on TV or on the VHS era. It's a good time for old movies.
Right. Joining us this morning by telephone is Ty Burr. He is the film critic for the Boston Globe. For over a decade, he wrote about movies for Entertainment Weekly. He estimates he has seen well over 10,000 movies, and he also has two kids. And to provide some recommendations for people who have families and who are looking for good movies to watch with their children, he's produced this book, It's the Best Old Movies for Families, A Guide to Watching Together. It's published by Anchor Books, is available in paperback. If you want to join in the conversation here, 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Well, let's talk with some more folks here. We have someone who's been waiting patiently on a cell phone calling from Buckley. That's our line four right here. Hello.
Yeah, hi, David. Thanks for taking my call. Very interesting program. I can actually relate to both of you gentlemen. David, I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and I don't know if you remember, but way, way, way back when, they used to run something called Picture for a Sunday Afternoon.
I sure do.
And I cannot imagine the world being as it is today that would ever fly, but that was pretty enjoyable. That was a lot of Lassies and Black Beauty and stuff like that. And as far as your guest, I, too, have two daughters, an 11-year-old and a 6-year-old. And I cannot imagine. First of all, I want to commend you for your book because it's so fantastic.
Thank you.
I do think parents have to work at it today. It's quite a bit of work because I can't imagine leaving a child alone with cable TV in a room. When I was a kid on a Sunday morning, you might be able to get reruns of Flash Gordon, but that was about it, maybe Ivanhoe. And what's on TV now, all hours of the day, is just terrifying.
I totally agree.
Yeah, and it's completely inappropriate. You know, I'm not talking about 2 o'clock in the morning here. I'm talking about 11:30 in the afternoon. But anyway, what I was going to tell you was back in college 10,000 years ago, I took a course called Politics in the Film. And I can remember sitting through such classics as The Steppes of Odessa, Potemkin, and Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And very good movies, but I would come out of that class with horrendous headaches because of the subtitles.
Right.
And I would think that they would be very important films for the younger generation, but I thought perhaps your guests could comment on subtitles if that's just something that the younger kids are not going to contend with. I do think some of these movies are very important, silent movies being one thing, subtitles being something altogether. And I'll go ahead and hang off and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. It's a very good point, actually, because in this country in general, there's a resistance to subtitles. You know, nobody wants to go to the movies and read, and because of that, we cheat ourselves out of, you know, all the movies that the rest of the world is making, many of which are very entertaining and or thought-provoking. As with black and white, as with old movies in general, I think if you start kids young on subtitled movies, which doesn't mean sitting them down when they're five and making them watch The Bicycle Thief, but I think the experience I had with The Seven Samurai, and there's this wonderful Japanese movie called Ohio, which means good morning in Japanese. It's from the early 60s. It's by this great Japanese director named Ozu, who, like, you know, film geeks know about, but isn't well known to the average film goer. And it's about kids. It's about kids in a Tokyo suburb, and they want to get a TV, which was a rarity back then, and they go on a silence strike against their parents. And it's got fart jokes, which is extremely, you don't expect when you see a foreign movie. It's absolutely accurate portrait of childhood, and it's universal, and it's got subtitles. And I watched that with the girls when they were pretty young, 5 and 7, 6 and 8, somewhere in there, and they loved it. I read it to them again. It was reading it to them makes it almost like, you know, reading a story to them. And there wasn't a whole lot of dialogue. I didn't have to work to keep up, and it was a pleasant experience. And they came out of that understanding that subtitles can be, there's some movies you have to read, and that's okay. And I remember when Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon came out, and we watched that. They watched both subtitled and dubbed versions. And they sort of went back and forth, and we had some interesting, you know, dinner table conversations about which one was better. And I feel like I've planted the seed, and, you know, they're off on their own. If they want to, we've watched some other foreign classics, and they're old enough to read them on their own. And sometimes it's a pain, and sometimes they're too tired to do it. We don't do it a lot, but they know they're out there. And I feel like, you know, my work here is done. I've sort of planted the seed, and they know that there are some movies that you need to read, and that they're worth it.
Yeah.
You know, at best, they're worth it.
It seems to me also that at least in some of the newer editions of this movies, they're trying to make the subtitles a little bit more user-friendly. I remember when I was in high school, one of the things that they showed us was the great film, The Battle of Algiers, it's a wonderful movie, and it's in black and white. I remember at times in this movie where the subtitles were white, mm-hmm. and here'd be some guy wearing a white shirt, was filling the screen, and the subtitle was completely lost against the guy's shirt. And I'm thinking, now how am I supposed to read this? White subtitles against this guy's white shirt.
There are all those Bergman films where you have, like, the white screen and white subtitles. Fellini, too. And again, with DVD, they have new digitized subtitles. They're a lot easier to read.
All right, let's talk with someone in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. Another benefit of Some Like It Hot is it starts out in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And the train that they get on to escape the mobsters is going to Champaign-Urbana.
Ha! That's right, it is. I hadn't thought of that. With Sweet Sue and the Society.
They're going to play a gig, supposedly. They're going to play a gig in Urbana.
Huh.
Yeah.
Roger Ebert has his film festival here every year and always includes a silent movie and always has a live band providing a score for it. One of the ones that has been the usual visitor, though not this year, is the Alloy Orchestra, and they have good prints of some of the movies that they've done scores for, some of the silent films. One of them is The General with Buster Keaton, and it's the one where he's, you often see a visual quote, where he sits on the drive shaft of a steam engine, and it starts up, and he's going
gets
up
carried
again.
Along. Yeah,
And I hadn't known what movie it was from, and I thought, and he does all of his own stunts with these trains, and any kid who likes trains and likes comedy, I would think, would like The General.
Absolutely.
The other thing is that I very distinctly remember as a kid being allowed to go see my first scary movie by myself, and it scared the willies out of me. It was Invaders from Mars.
Oh, that's a terrifying movie if you're a kid. Your parents.
At that point, we didn't know that there weren't any aliens on Mars, let alone aliens. We thought there might be aliens on the other side of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't been to those places yet. And I was afraid to take the garbage out for months after seeing that movie, thinking the ground might possibly open up and I'd be sucked down and the Martians would get me.
But that's the one where the parents become possessed by aliens, right?
Yeah, they get something stuck in the base of their skull. You know, and it's
My Lord, I'm amazed you're still walking and talking about it. I would not want to have seen that movie when I was a little kid.
Well, the kids seeing it now think, mm-hmm. How could you possibly be scared by that? But, you know, it was fun to show them.
Oh, you'd be
surprised. Scared the willies out of me, and to talk to them about what we knew and didn't know. They thought it was pretty hilarious as opposed to scary. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, they've seen Star Wars and all this kind of stuff. My kids are older now. My kids are now 29 and 32. But so by the time I showed it to them, they had seen a whole bunch of much, much more modern science fiction stuff. Plus, we've been to the moon. You know, we've sent probes to Mars. We know that there aren't aliens hanging out coming to get us, at least not from those places.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no,
so it's kind of fun to dig up something that had an impact on us as kids and to show it, and to revisit it with our kids if they're open to that. Thank you.
Yeah. I do know that I probably wouldn't show that one to my girls, and I talk about in the book, I try and distinguish in the science fiction chapter between things like The Incredible Shrinking Man, which is scary, but in a way that's appropriate to, say, an 8-year-old, or, you know, The Day That the Earth Stood Still, and movies like The Invasion of the Body Snatchers or Invaders from Mars, which I think you show that to a 7 or 8-year-old, you're going to have, they're going to have nightmares for weeks.
Yeah.
And even with, you know, special effects as they are today, those movies work at a psychological level.
Yeah, some of the movies of that vintage are you'd see them now, you laugh, but I think that there are some that manage to hold up remarkably well, and The Day the Earth Stood Still is one of them.
Oh, that's a terrific movie, especially for younger guys.
Yeah, and what's interesting about the movie is that is the tone. It has this sort of dark, mysterious kind of tone, and yet there are long stretches in the movie where nothing really happens, really, but somehow they manage to maintain the dramatic tension. And I think the idea of the alien who is played in the movie by Michael Rennie, the fact that he looks like anybody else, is also in sort of an interesting twist. And again, I suppose it can also give, obviously, the backdrop to a movie like that is the Cold War. And I don't know at what point you start talking about that with your children and the you know, people suspecting that people are not who they seem to be and that sort of stuff. That would give you an opportunity to have some interesting conversations, I think.
Well, that movie is, I think, universal in that it applies to any period where humans are at war with other humans, because that's the message that the alien says, you know, get your act together or we're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
The other thing about that film, and this is true, I noticed with a lot of old ones, if there's a kid character in the movie, it really resonates with the children watching it. And the great thing about The Day the Earth Stood Still is that this young boy is a major character. He's the one that sort of follows the Michael Rennie character around, who sort of discovers what's going on. And we see the drama, not just the physical drama, but the moral drama of the movie through this kid's eyes. And that's what got my daughters into it. They saw it through his eyes.
Yeah, remember, Klaatu Barada Nikto. That's
a code phrase in our
useful
house.
Phrase. You better hold on to that one. You never can tell when you might need that one. let's go to Matt Toon, line 3. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Yes.
I'm enjoying the show. A couple of movies that it's hard to think that a generation has passed. They don't seem that old, but our daughter was a child when took her to see him, and now she's got children getting close to that age herself. But The Dark Crystal and Labyrinth, and I would recommend those for older kids, you know. But those are great movies that for families to watch together, I think. And I mean, I love both of them. And I took our daughter when she was like 4 or 5 to Dark Crystal, and it scared her.
Yeah,
but
that's a Jim Henson production, right?
Right.
Yeah, all those Henson fantasies. I mean, we lost a lot when he passed away early. He did some amazing stuff. And you're right; those things are almost they're classics now. They're old enough, they've been around long enough that they're not new, and they do need to be reintroduced to younger kids. Not too young, but...
But I thought they're great. And another movie I wanted to mention, you were talking about silent movies, is a few years ago, Mel Brooks made a movie called Silent Movie.
Yep.
And I simply loved it. You talk about a movie that made me laugh out loud with no words. There's only one word spoken in the entire movie. And
do you remember who it's spoken by?
Pardon?
Do you remember who it's spoken by?
Uh-huh. Marcel Marceau.
Exactly. we went on a Mel Brooks binge, my girls and I. It was funny. They've seen Young Frankenstein, but they're too scared to see the original Frankenstein, but they've seen Mel Brooks' comedy variant. So they recognize Frankenstein through Peter Boyle playing Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
But we've watched a lot of his stuff. Not Blazing Saddles, that's a little too raw, but Silent Movie, you're right, is especially if your kids have been exposed to silent movies, and then they see this one in color with Mel Brooks. It's just hilarious.
Yes, it is. All right, well, thank you for the show.
Thanks for the show.
Thank you.
I think it's also a fun idea to think about constructing double features, and I think it would be great. Because myself, personally, Young Frankenstein is my favorite Mel Brooks movie, so I think it would be wonderful to show that back-to-back with Son of Frankenstein, the one with Basil Rathbone, because then you could, well, first of all, you'd see that Mel stole everything. He just completely stole everything. But it's really funny to see it as a comedy and then to see it played straight. You even have the policeman who has the artificial arm, and they play darts, and all of that stuff that they do in the movie is pretty much stolen outright from
even
other...
Even the abnormal brain comes from the first Frankenstein.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to somebody on cell phone here, line two. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
A couple of movies my daughters loved when they were little. The first one was The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one was No Time for Sergeants with Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith, that's right.
And I was wondering if you knew how to get a DVD of that movie.
No Time for Sergeants, I'm not sure. I would recommend that you either go onto Amazon or to a website called the Internet Movie Database, which is www.imdb.com, Internet Movie Database. And they have information about every movie that's ever come out, all interlinked. I use this site in my job 50 times a day, and they have a link to whether it's available on video or DVD. That's pretty foolproof. They have all that information. Actually, I think the IMDb is owned now by Amazon, so those two sites are kind of interlinked. The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, that movie terrified me when I was about 10 years old. Don Knotts going into a haunted house, and those Don Knotts comedies, those talk about unsung classics, talk about movies that people have sort of forgotten about because they were B-movies, and they starred Don Knotts, and they came out in the early 60s. But kids love those things. They really hold up well.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're talking this morning in this part of Focus 580 with Ty Burr. He's a film critic for the Boston Globe, and for over a decade before that wrote about movies for Entertainment Weekly. He is the author of a book that would provide some good suggestions for families looking for good movies that they can watch together with their kids. His book is The Best Old Movies for Families, A Guide to Watching Together. It's available in paperback, published by Anchor. It's not terribly expensive. It has different kinds of groupings. First of all, it has a section where he's picked movies for kids of particular ages, making suggestions that way. And then there's also a section where the movies are grouped according to the genre. So there's a section of comedy, drama, musicals, adventures, horror, science fiction, and also movies that are in languages other than English, foreign language classics. So this, I think, would be a really helpful resource for people who are looking for movies for their kids. And here, if you'd like to call in, 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Let me mention just very quickly, because we only have about another 15 minutes on these, that earlier this morning the National Weather Service issued some severe thunderstorm warnings, and I'd just like to recap a couple of them. There is, and these are all going to be in effect until noon. So here we go. For Northern Christian County, extreme northeastern Sangamon, Macon County, southeastern Logan, northwestern Coles, central Moultrie, southwestern Douglas. So these all for about another 15 minutes here. Do keep in mind these are some severe storms been running through the area here. There's a possibility of lightning and hail and severe high winds. And we're just trying to keep you informed what's going on with weather, and we'll continue to do that, of course, throughout the day. There is a watch that will be in effect until 5 this afternoon that includes a lot of our severe weather coverage area, including Champaign County, as well as a number of others. And we'll have more on the weather for you as part of the afternoon magazine at 12:35. Here on AM 580. We have some other people who'd like to join in the conversation, so we'll do that. Next, Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to correct your mention of Urbana in Some Like It Hot, because actually the reason that they ended up in Florida was that the agent offered them a fraternity dance in Urbana, and Jack Lemmon uttered the immortal line, "I will not go all the way to Urbana for a one-night stand." And I've always enjoyed the movie, especially for that line. I wondered if you thought that thinking about movies that might introduce kids to a little bit more serious topics, mm-hmm. if One Potato, Two Potato from the 1960s that starred Barbara Barry was one that I really remembered. I was not particularly young, but I wondered if you thought that might be something that would introduce the topic of race relations.
Wow,
to kids.
You know, you've stumped me on it. I've never heard. I know Barbara Barry, but I've never heard of that one. Hold on.
Well, perhaps someone might look at it then.
I'm looking it up right now as we speak. I do know that I did watch To Kill a Mockingbird with my daughters about a year ago, and that was a really, really powerful experience, a hard experience in certain scenes, as you might expect, when the Tom Robinson character is killed off-screen. My older daughter was just really torn up by that, and we had a pretty intense discussion about injustice in the world and racism, and they loved the movie. They understood that it was a serious movie. They still talk about it as one of the, you know, the best movies they've ever seen. And I actually just had a conversation with a friend of my daughter's mother, who, you know, the dad wants to show it to them. The mother thinks it's too early, you know, that it's too intense for them. And you have to figure that out with your kid. You know, you have to figure out whether your kid's right for it. But you know, again, you've got a very good point. Using these movies to introduce grown-up themes and situations is a really wonderful thing, because if To Kill a Mockingbird was made today, it would probably be rated R, and you couldn't take a kid to see it because it would have too much violence or too much sexuality in your face, or there would just be too many what-ifs. But you look at some of these older movies, and they were made for grown-ups, but they're appropriate for children. 12 Angry Men is another example. I watched that with Eliza when she was about 8, because I'd just come home from jury duty, and she wanted to know what was going on, and it happened to be showing on Turner Classics literally within a half hour. So we sat down and we watched it, and she totally understood not only the jury system, but why it mattered, why sticking up for your, you know, what you believed and convincing other people mattered, why that was important. So, you know, you don't get that in a Disney film these days.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Let's talk with someone in Rantoul. This is line number two. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
We had an interesting topic. I wanted to mention a movie that my son it actually was part of his childhood experience, somewhat like our home or our neighborhood. I stumbled across a great movie. I didn't know it was a Stephen King movie, but it was Stand By Me.
Oh, Stand By Me, absolutely.
My son, I think, was about 10, which would have been around 93. And so, of course, the 12-year-old boys, you know, my son was just in awe of these 12-year-old boys because he was only 10. And then going to find a dead body,
right.
He just thought that was great. And there were so many marvelous parts to the movie, so many facets. It was just very rich. Mm-hmm. And we had many discussions, and we watched that movie many, many times. And I pretended like I didn't know why a body would be fascinating. And he got a big kick out of explaining it to me. Of course, he didn't have, you know, an adequate vocabulary, but, you know, he did his best to convey, you know, and I'm just sitting there going, well, no kidding, you know, gosh, me. And he really hoped that something like that would happen to him. But, then after we watched it a few more times, he began to ask questions about the missing dead older brother and what had happened to him and why was it even in the movie and the leeches and it was so hard back then to find a decent movie that embodied the things that I value.
Right, and it still is. It's increasingly hard. And you make a really good point by when you say that, you know, you basically let your son lead the conversation. I found out when I would sit down with the girls and say, this movie is important that we're about to watch, and here's why, they would turn off a bit. But if you just threw it on, and they started asking questions, and I let them kind of lead where it went, they were much more involved. And that's the best way to watch these movies. With
yeah, them. Yeah. Well, and you know, truth be told, I really didn't really understand the appeal of a dead body, so I just thought, well, you know, let me see what he has to say about it, you know, and that worked out marvelously. And I have another movie I'd like to recommend. It's more for older teens. Of course, this day and age, I'm sure people are showing it to their four-year-olds, but it was The Professional.
Huh.
My son saw that. I think he was about 14 or 15. Now, I did not allow violent or sex movies in my home. So, of course, he would leave my home and go watch this sort of thing at someone else's house.
The French movie, right? With Jean Reno?
Yes.
And Natalie Portman, a young Natalie Portman?
Yes. And he came home. I mean, his eyes were big, and he said, Mother, we have to rent this movie. And, you know, he kind of explained the plot, and I'm thinking, oh, gee, that's interesting. And to this day, he's 24 now, to this day, that movie still makes him cry.
Oh, wow.
And once again, he led the discussion, you know, and he had so many questions, you know, and of course, so did I. And, you know, we'd bounce these ideas back and forth, and why was this character that way, and, you know, and I'm not sure what lesson he got out of it, but it is one of my favorite films, too, now.
And it's also a neat thing when your kids get to the age where they start bringing movies to you or music to you. And if you've established that sort of dialogue, that ability to just sort of talk to them about it early on, you know, and you've brought them stuff that's interested them, they start bringing stuff back to you and saying, hey, look at this. And that's neat. That's a fun thing.
I'm really sorry to have to stop. We've been having a good time talking here, but we're going to have to finish because we're come to the end. Maybe on another day we could talk about some other movies, find some other things to talk about, Ty. But for the moment, we're going to have to say thanks very much for your giving us your time.
Thank you.
Our guest is Ty Burr. He is a film critic for the Boston Globe. And if you are interested in this book, you're looking for suggestions for movies to watch with your children, you can look for his book, The Best Old Movies for Families, A Guide to Watching Together. And it's published by Anchor Books.